الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الإنسان وكرمه وأنعم عليه وعلمه أحمده سبحانه كما ينبغي لجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا وقال الله عز وجل وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان وفي شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه والصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise, complete glory and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given us life, the one who has given us this opportunity, the one to whom we all return. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama, the one who showed us the true path back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who perfected our iman, perfected our akhlaq, by which we will re-enter into the gardens of paradise, insha'Allah al-Aziz. And peace and blessings be upon his noble family and upon the companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all on this glorious, beautiful, noble day of Jumu'ah in the sacred sanctuary, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may this day, this moment become a means for our forgiveness, for our pardon, for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran gives us a very simple statement to cooperate with one another. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. To work together, to cooperate, to encourage, to support, to aid one another towards taqwa. Birri wa taqwa. Birr is all forms of righteousness, all forms of goodness, all forms of khair. And taqwa is the constant reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-observing, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the all-hearing. So this is something that we are encouraged to do, not just once a week on Jumu'ah, but on a daily basis, to encourage, to remind, to support one another towards being those good Muslims, those good individuals, and being good human beings. And this is something that we will, insha'Allah al-Aziz, touch upon today, because the society and the world that we live in, especially since lockdown, has taught us that we just do things individually. Since isolation, we've become more and more insular. And even as a society, we do things just for ourselves. You always concern yourself with yourself. But here we will see, inshallah al-Aziz, in relation to our deen, to the sunnah and to the Qur'an of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that life is not just living in isolation, but rather it is living in cooperation with your community, with other people. And in this regard, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a very, very simple and beautiful dua that was shared with Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And this is the dua the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would recite. And he'd recite, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَرْحَمْنِي وَهْدِنِي وَاجْبُرْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي وَارْفَعْنِي. Seven beautiful comprehensive, concise du'as, things that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the translation of it is very simple: O my Lord, O Allah, forgive me. Because without the forgiveness, without the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are all in sin. We do sins, things that we know of, things that we do not know of, openly and hiddenly, we do things. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the primary thing, which is the forgiveness of Allah azza wa jal. Warhamni. And then to seek the mercy, the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because without the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, we would not exist here today. If Allah were to take us to account for our thoughts, for our deeds, for our actions, for the things that we do, the way that we behave, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would surely be annihilated. But it is the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal that He continues to overlook for the short time, and He continues to have His mercy and shower His mercy upon us with your health, with your family, with your wealth, with opportunity, with all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And without the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, none of us, not including even the prophets of Allah azza wa jal, not even their families or the companions, can ever enter into the gardens of paradise. It is all the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahdini, and guide me. And this is a very important aspect, because we are constantly being swayed from side to side in the world and being distracted and deluded by this path is the best for you, this option is the best option for you. So constantly seeking that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of your affairs. And that's not just something which is religious affairs, but all of your social interactions, your financial interactions, your emotional, all of your interactions that you have as a human being, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance in all of your affairs, in all of your matters, because Allah is not secluded to the masjid. Your deen is not reserved just for this particular area. Your deen is as you walk, how you talk, how you carry yourself, how you interact with all forms of people, how you deal with situations, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to make the best decision, to carry out the best action. Wajburni. And then to support me and to protect me. And this is a very, very important aspect that we will, inshallah, al-Aziz, touch upon today. Wa'afini. And warzuqni and warfa'ni. To provide for me, to protect me, and to elevate me. These are the seven very concise but very comprehensive du'as that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would do on a regular basis. And as I mentioned, this is narrated from Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he used to stay with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam abundantly, because his maternal aunt, Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was married to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he learned a great deal from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, because he was spending his days with him and also spending his nights with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But specifically here we learn that he learned these du'as from the prayers of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam during Qiyamul Layl. So especially during the night prayer in relation to Isha, in relation to Tahajjud, and the night prayers when you are taking that extra effort to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, mentions that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, between the two sajda, so when you go into sajda, the normal dua that we recite is Subhana Rabbiyal. Everybody? Yes? Thank you, yes. So you read Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, yes, in your sajda. And then when you sit down, which is called the qa'da, this is when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or jalsa, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he would read this dua. So between the two sajda, when you're sitting down in this particular position, in the tashahud position, as we say, or the jalsa, or the qa'da, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would read this dua. So this is a very important thing. One, it teaches us not to rush our salah. Because even in other positions, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would take his time, make sure his muscles would be relaxed in every single position, and read particular du'as in between positions as well. But especially in the sajda, you see people just bang their head up, in and out, in and out. Right? They're trying to get away from something. But no, you should do his sajda, enjoy his sajda, then sit down and then read this dua with great sukoon and itminan, and then go back into the second sajda. So this is the dua that he would read between the two prostrations. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَاهْدِنِي وَاجْبُرْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي وَارْفَعْنِي. So inshallah al-Aziz, today I want to focus on one particular element of this dua, which is wajburni, which means to comfort. So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for comfort, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for support. Because the world that we live in is a very, very difficult world. We all have various challenges, emotional challenges, physical challenges, financial challenges, mental challenges, various challenges all the time. And what we do is we go to our loved ones, we go to our parents, we go to those people that give us comfort, that can give us support, that can give us some form of assistance and aid, some reassurance, and say, don't worry, I'm here for you. This is what we do as human beings. But what we should truly do is turn first and foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that comfort, for that aid, and for that support. So this is the dua the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would do. And wajburni comes from jabara, which basically means to mend something. Do you know when you break your arm and they put a splint on your broken arm to support, or a cast? This is the same element, that you're seeking that comfort and that support so that you can become stronger, that you can have some form of relief, something that you can cling on to, something that you can get closer to. So this is that dua that you're doing, to cling on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get that comfort from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get that support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because today your family may be here, your friends may be here, tomorrow those same family and friends will not be there to comfort you, to support you, to aid you, to assist you. But who will always be there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the everlasting, the ever living, will always be there. And this is where we need to turn to, and this is a very important mindset to have. That rather than, because what we do is we exert and exhaust all of our worldly options, and when everything fails, then we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, it has to be the other way around. Whenever any matter, any affair came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing that he used to do was go into sajda and bow down and prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek his comfort, seek his support, seek his guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we need to do. Any affair, marital, spouse, children, family, work, life, turn to your Lord. Turn to Allah azza wa jal, who can relieve your pain, who can give you that comfort, who can give you that support. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ is reminding us again that yes, we need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the guidance. These are all prerequisites and absolutely essential elements for our success. But we also need comfort as human beings. We need that hug. We need that reassurance. We need somebody to comfort us. We need somebody to hug us. We need somebody to hold our hand. We need somebody to wipe away our tears. We need somebody. And the best being that can provide all of that, always on call, always available, is none other than your Lord. So this is one thing that we learn from this particular dua of seeking comfort and aid and support and clinging on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it also has an equal other element that we need to focus on as well, which is, yes, you do things for yourself, but you also need to give back in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So just the way Allah azza wa jal gives you wealth, you use it on yourself, but you use it to give that wealth to other people, to poor, to the destitute, to those people who are in need, so they can better their affairs. Whatever you have, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your blessings. Then you give that out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam, as I mentioned at the beginning, from the offset, is not a religion of individualism. It's not a world or not a community. It's not a family where we just live in isolation. No, we do things collectively. We pray together. We do Eid together. We do Hajj together. We fast together. We do all of these things communally, as a community. We come and pray together. We do all of these things. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Work together, cooperate together, encourage each other and support one another towards righteousness, towards khayr and towards the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this world that we are living in, we need to provide support to other people. provide support to those people who are vulnerable, provide support to those people who are mentally impaired and disabled, have some form of disability, provide support to those people who are financially struggling, emotionally struggling, physically struggling, spiritually struggling in every single capacity. We should not always be the one who take, we should be the ones who will give out as much as we can and to support other people. And we learn this from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his aid, for all his strength, for all his support and everything. But then once he received that from Allah Azza wa Jal, he would give that out all in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would be there for his companions. He was there for the vulnerable. He was there for the needy. He was there for the poor. He was there for the orphans. He was there for the miskins. He was there for the widows. He was there for every single person, Muslim and non-Muslim, in his community, in his society, wherever he went. So this is something that we need to really reflect upon, that how much are you there for other people in your community? First of all, start off, how much are you there for your spouse, for your children, for your family, for your neighbors, for your cousins, for your family members? How much are you there for your wider community, for your closer community? Where are you? How much interaction do you have? Do you know their names? Do you know what they're going through? Or do you always only think about, hi, musibah, but you know, what this has happened to me and that's happened to me and I'm going through so much. What do people know? People are going through so much more than you. What do you know here living in the comfort of this first world country, in a developed nation with medicine available to you, security, safety, food, everything available to you? Look at those people in war-torn countries, in third world countries, those people with suffering from all of these great illnesses, financial, emotional, physical, medical. Look at them, and then you can really realize actually how much blessings you have. But coming back to the thing that so many people are suffering throughout the world, and don't just be in this particular cycle of just think about your own suffering, think about other people. And there is a benefit to this. Why? Because when you are in the aid of other people, when you are assisting other people get through their suffering and their difficulty and supporting them and giving them comfort, which is that dua, wajburni, then it will relieve you. It will give you relief, it will give you comfort. It will put your things into perspective and realize, wait a minute, this person is going through so much more in comparison to me. If they can get through it, then I can get through my difficulties and my problems as well. So we see the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he would comfort those people that were around him who were suffering from loss, all forms of financial, emotional, or physical loss. And this is what we learn from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you comfort other people, then you will be comforted and supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, that a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, so he should not oppress him, nor should he hand him over to his Satan, to the shaitan, or to his lower self, to his nafs. Whoever fulfills the needs of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. Whoever removes the troubles of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove one of his troubles on the day of Qiyamah. Whoever covers up the fault of a Muslim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover up his fault on the day of Qiyamah. Here we see in this beautiful hadith recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari, that don't just think about yourself, that just you are going through all of these things, but when you go out to support other people, aid other people, assist other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid and support and comfort you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you away from the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover up your faults on the day of Qiyamah. So we as Muslims, we should look out for other people. Do you know how the government looks out for you, your community looks out for you? We have this onus, this mandate, this responsibility put upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that we as Muslims, we as human beings, we need to take care of other people. We should be there. Don't allow other people to hurt themselves, to cause their own destruction, for them to fall apart, but be there to support them, to aid them, to comfort them, fulfill their needs wherever you can, emotional, physical, financial needs. If you do so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your void, fill your difficulties and fulfill your needs as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your difficulties on the day of Qiyamah because you remove the difficulties of other people here on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover up your faults because you helped other people and assisted other people in getting themselves back on their feet. So this is a very important thing, and you might think it's a paradox, but when you look beyond your own issues, your own issues, then you can and solve other people's issues, and automatically your issues will be solved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I mentioned, we all are going through and suffering from various problems, various difficulties, but we are always encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to help other people, to help them overcome their issues. The world that we live in is extremely self-centered. It's always centered and focused on you, me and I. That's it. Just all about you. Your problems, your problems, your problems. And we can be consumed by the dunya and consumed by our own problems. But Islam teaches us to look beyond our issues and encourages us to reach out to other people to the best of your abilities. When you help Allah when you help others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. So the simple formula is in this whole speech today is that relieve someone of their difficulties, support someone in their difficulties, comfort someone in their difficulties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will comfort you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you, not just in the dunya, but more importantly in the hereafter. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, that the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who are the most beneficial to other people. Not just beneficial to yourself and just spend on yourself and spend on your wife and spend on your children. No, the most beloved to Allah azza wa jal are those who are beneficial to other people, support other people, aid other people, assist other people, comfort other people. These are the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make a Muslim happy, or to remove one of his troubles, or to forgive his debts, or to feed his hunger. This is what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us. That yes, there's not a single person here who doesn't have any troubles in their life. My father says, "Puri dunya rolo mein hai," and because the whole world is in up and down in chaos. Everybody has problems. Nobody is exempt from these problems and calamities. But what you need to do is go through that and help other people get through their difficulties. It will strengthen you, give you more resilience. So the most beloved deed to Allah Azza wa Jal is for you to make other people happy, for you to remove other people and their difficulties, for you to forgive their debts if possible, or to feed their hunger. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, look at this statement and how powerful this statement is, because all of us want to go to Makkatul Mukarramah, we want to go to Madinatul Munawwara and pray there because we know the reward of going to those sacred places. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam states that me walking with a brother regarding a need of his, so me walking, supporting, standing, going with him to help him in his need is more beloved to me than me going into the Masjid al-Nabwi and doing i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. Look at the reward of i'tikaf. Look at the reward of being in Masjid al-Nabwi. This is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself saying that it is more rewarding for me, more beloved to me, that I just walk with somebody and help them in their difficulty than me sitting here in the masjid for a whole month worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the opportunity comes knocking on your door, when people call you, people contact you, they need your help, whatever you can do, you should never hesitate. Be there for them emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, in whichever capacity that you have, and know that there's a great reward there for you waiting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam continues, whoever swallows his anger, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults. Whoever suppresses his rage, even though he could fulfill his anger if he wished, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure his heart on the day of Qiyamah. Whoever walks with his brother regarding a need until he secures it for him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his footing firm on the bridge on the day of Qiyamah when all of the footings will be shaken. So this is the reward for you being there for other people. Being there, cooperating, supporting, aiding, comforting other people in whatever capacity that you have. Look at that great reward given to you and promised to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So it's not always about supporting other people financially. With your compassion, with your mercy, with your empathy, with your sympathy, you can do something to help some people in some way, in some form. And do that. Just walk with them. Let them get there through their troubles. And the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you. So remember this dua. Recite this dua. memorize this dua. Rabbi ighfir li warhamni wahdini wajburni wa'afini warzuqni warfa'ni. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and guide us all. Wa qul qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khayran. Qul sururi.